today on Real Radio.
Because I'm afraid some of you don't know the Word of God enough, because if you put on this false teacher and you're listening, it's exciting, it's dynamic, charismatic, it's biblical, and then whoop, there it went. There was the little poison injected, and then he continues on. And listen, how did Satan try to trip up Jesus? Anybody remember? Satan quoted scripture to Jesus Christ. Are you with me, everybody?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. For the past few months, we've been in this series that Pastor Jack's bringing to a close, the You Need to Know series. It's aimed at helping us become a disciple through the doctrines of God by helping us understand what we believe and why we believe it. Today, Pastor Jack addresses the issues that originally inspired him to bring this series. He recaps where we've come and has a challenge for us in the end. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Saved by the grace of God, that when you and I enter heaven, it will not matter one iota what we've achieved. It will be that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. No matter what great works we've ever done, which are wonderful, what are they for? To glorify His name, not to earn points. There's no point. Listen, this is God's church, is not American Express travel points.
Well, you've got 200 points.
No, you don't. You've got no points. It's the blood of Christ and no points. And that assurance is power and comfort and joy. But don't assume you're saved, my dear friend, which led us to a very long series, and we just ended it, and that was the doctrine of future things. That for the Christian, our future's before us. Mark it down, you guys, if you would. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. That's where we'll launch out. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Listen, everybody, by way of review, by recap, by settling this all in, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." Listen up, everybody. "I did not come," Jesus said, "to destroy, but to fulfill." Listen, mark it. Record this down for people in your life that you know, who are using the Word of God as a cloak for sin, who are using the Word of God to cover themselves. Jesus said, Old and New Testament, He says, "I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets." Do you know what that means? Simple meaning. Nobody's confused by it except this generation. Well, the Old Testament, that's the old stuff. Doesn't apply to us. Tell that to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you need to keep the Ten Commandments. No man can. My Jewish friends, God bless you. But nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. Are they amazing? Yes. Are they pure? Holy? Yes. You can keep them physically on the outward before man, but God knows what's in your heart. It's not the law inscribed upon stone. It is the spirit of the law that God will hold us accountable to. It's very serious. Jesus said, "I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets." Why? Because I can't. He went on in Matthew 5:18, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, one comma, one hyphen of the Hebrew language will by no means pass from the law till" what? "All is fulfilled." The word "all" here means, are you ready? Write this down. Don't miss it. It means all. The word means every bit, everything. Listen, the word means the whole of, the entirety. The word means the word or words. By the way, the ancient rabbis and conservative rabbis today say this still, and I like it. Listen, that when the Messiah comes, He will not only correctly interpret the Word of God perfectly to us, but He will even interpret what is meant between the lines. I love that. That's a high view of God's Word. Will you mark that down? We are to have a high view of God's Word. That's why we brought you this series. Do you have a high view of God's word? Is it priority one in your life? Is God's word the first thing you consult? Listen, do you have to make a decision? You consult God's word? Listen, daily, do you consult his word? Do you pursue his word? I'm not talking about illegalism. Well, I got to read the Bible today. We get to crack open the eternal word of God. This word will speak to us. Dear friends, please mark this down. When you open your Bible, I mean, watch. When you open your Bible, you ought to, if not physically, in spirit, when you open this thing up, it's like, whoa. I mean, there should, in your mind, you should be like lightning bolts coming out of this book. Why? We see, are you crazy? Listen, no, watch. You put it down and you start to read. And here's how you read the Bible. Dear God in heaven, this is your eternal word. Kingdoms will come and go before the earth was, and when it's all gone, your word abides forever. You know me. You put me on this planet, in this place, at this second. So, here we go, Lord. Speak to me. Do you do that? I hope you do that. I really do. I really hope you do that. It'll heal you of the doldrums. Well, I got to read the Bible today. And then you read the Bible, and then you get, and 5 minutes later, no, you can't even tell anybody what you read. Don't do that. No, don't do that. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Dear Christian church, it's time for us at the end of this series now to go do what we know. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, listen, this is amazing to me. It was great to be refreshed on this. Matthew 5, 1. Jesus, seeing the multitude, went up to a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and what? Taught them, saying. Isn't that awesome? Jesus, listen, what would it be like to hang out with Jesus? Well, it all depends. Do you like Bible study or no? Because every time you see Jesus, what's he doing? Bible. He opens his mouth and teaches or taught the people. He taught them. He teaches the word of God. What's the high esteem, high view of God's word? Well, the Bible says of itself that Jesus Christ was the word that became flesh. The word teach or taught here is the word didasko. And that word means to illuminate. Listen, by learning, it means to illuminate, means to teach. It means to open up at all times. Didasko. And it means this. If you were walking with Jesus, everybody, imagine just you're walking with Jesus. What would it have been like? We've all wondered about that. Wouldn't it have been amazing? Well, this is what it would have been like according to the Bible. Jesus would have been walking with the disciples, and he would take every opportunity to make it a truly teachable moment. John said the things that he taught us, if they were all written down, the books of the world could not contain them. God gave us the Bible for what we need to know. More on that in a moment. Walking with Jesus would have been amazing. I would have been. You would have been your personality. I would have been my personality with him. I would have wanted to know, Jesus, tell me how a bee works. I just saw a bee fly by. How does that work? And you know what? Because the Bible says when Jesus taught them, didasko, you and I do not get the exact teaching. We most often get the parable. The parable is what summed up the teaching. Did you know that's how the Hebrew teachers summed up their sermon, their message? They taught, and then they closed the teaching with the application. And the application was a parabolos, parable. You and I are familiar with the parables. They're the high point of the teaching. Jesus taught. How valuable, listen, is the word of God in your life daily? Jesus would teach you regarding your singleness, your marriage, your business, your education, relationships. Jesus would sit down and teach you. None of us, listen, there's nobody exempt from the light and from the illumination and learning of God's word. You just got to pick it up. If you don't, you'll be swept away by false doctrine, and it is rampant, ladies and gentlemen. There are people all over the place. They're on the internet, very persuasive, very powerful. I told the staff recently, watch this guy. He is demonically anointed. Because why? If you, oh, this is something. I actually was going to play it for you on the screens, but I feared some of you could not handle it, and you would actually be deceived by him. Why? Because I'm afraid some of you don't know the word of God enough. Because if you put on this false teacher and you're listening, it's exciting, it's dynamic, charismatic, it's biblical. And then, whoop, there it went. There was the little poison injected, and then he continues on. And listen, how did Satan try to trip up Jesus? Anybody remember? Satan quoted scripture to Jesus Christ. Are you with me, everybody? That's the number one passion why we brought this series to you. But you know what? He said that. I have, listen, more than ever in my 38 years of being a Christian, in these last several months of watching the advent of false prophets in the world and in America take their stage, it is amazing to me to see people who claim Christ but do not obey his word. Be swept away by, as we talked a few weeks ago, emotionalism, an emotionally based theology. Tragic, but rampant. The mission of Jesus Christ, apart from the cross, is teaching the word of God. Think of that. I'll say it again. The mission of Jesus Christ outside the cross, other than the cross, number one, the cross. Number two, teaching. You say, well, no, I'll disagree. Miracles. Hey, listen, miracles come and go. Even after a miracle happens, the person still has got to die again. Or so what if their blindness is taken away? So what? They could walk down the street and catch the flu and drop dead. Are you hearing me? I'm not disparaging miracles. I'm saying don't set your faith on them. Again, the Bible warns in the last days, miracles will come out of deceivers. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be having miracles here. Thank God, God moves. But you don't set your faith on them. You judge all things against doctrine, but do you know it? You got to know what the Bible teaches. In Mark chapter 6, verse 33, Mark 6, 33, but the multitude saw them, that's Jesus and the boys, the disciples, departing, and many knew him, and they ran on foot from all the cities. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this in a Spielberg moment? Jesus is with the disciples, and there's people coming from all these villages running to see Jesus. And they arrived before them, that is on the other side of the lake, and came together to him. By the way, that word implies a swarm of humans. That's a pretty graphic picture, is it not? A swarm. You ever been involved in a swarm? That's a pretty scary, painful thing. A swarm of humanity. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was, number one, moved with compassion for them. Is that awesome? And number two, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. Three, so he began to give them lotto tickets. He began to wash their feet. He began to feed them. He began to what? Teach them. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, in the most pressing moment that moved his heart, the word moved with compassion. I hope you're not offended by this. The original language means that when Jesus saw them, he had so much pity on the people that the word means to have your bowels affected. That's what the word means. Compassion is such a sterile word, isn't it? It's actually a pretty word, isn't it? Listen, it's a very, very, very serious feeling that Jesus had. He saw the people, and when he saw them with his eyes, like sheep having no shepherd. These people don't have anybody to love and care for them. That thought of them being lonely in this world caused his gut, the lower regions of his bowels, to be agitated. He was moved with compassion. Do you know this Jesus? Who's moved with compassion regarding your situation in life? He looks upon you like a sheep not having a shepherd, and Jesus steps up and says, I'll be your shepherd if you want. I'll be your shepherd if you let me in. I'll come to you when no one else will. Moved with compassion. And he taught them. What's the greatest thing that a man or a woman, a boy or a girl can experience in this life is to be taught the Word of God. It's eternal. It's supernatural. I've told you this before. It sure is a lot of fun. It's redundant for many of you. I see you doing it places. But go to breakfast after service today. You see wife saying, see, honey, he just, that's the Lord. No, don't go home and cook. Go be a witness. Go to some breakfast place around town. Take your Bible and put it right on the table there. Open up that menu, Bible open. Be having a conversation. Watch the server come up and say, what do you got there? It's the eternal Word of God. It's alive, the Bible says. The Bible says of itself, it's alive. And you know it is. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, go therefore, Jesus said. Listen, this is one of his departing words to the church, to us. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Everybody's for that. Yes, yes. I'm so sick of all the books that are out there right now about disciples. Disciple this, disciple that. There's websites for disciples, making disciples. Our church is all about making, and we're a disciple church. There is no church without disciple making. And you don't need to read a book to make disciples. How in the world did for 2,000 years the church ever have disciples without all these books being written? How'd we ever make it? The only way we will make it, by the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. Listen, our problem is we need to write a book on how to unplug. Imagine what you'll hear if we unplug. We'll be able to hear God again. That still small voice. So Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, without the internet even. Remarkable. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. What's the word? Teaching them doctrine, didasco, to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So very quickly, watch everybody. Number one, consider this. The greatest need at this hour is this. So where do we go from here as a church? Number one, the greatest need at this hour is this. It's for you and I to make a commitment right now today. I'm only talking to this church. If you're visiting, you're on vacation. This church, ladies and gentlemen, God has been stirring up this body for some time now. And I thank God so much that as you draw near to Him, God becomes very prophetic to us. What do you mean? When you draw near to the Lord, He prepares you for things that are coming. Several weeks ago, when the Supreme Court made their decision, this church was not rocked. We knew it was coming. I had pastors this last week at the Calvary Chapel Senior Pastors Conference, pastors from all over the world and pastors from all over America. They made a beeline to me. What do we do now? What do we do now? What do we do now? What are you going to do? I say, listen, we've been standing in this river since 2007. This is what you do. It's quite amazing. What's the answer? The greatest need at this hour is to draw nearer to Jesus. Listen. You're not going to find that in a conference. You're not going to find it there's no app for this. It's literally, and if you want to, get on your knees and say, Almighty God, Lord Jesus, draw me nearer to you. I am willing right now, Lord Jesus, from this moment on. God, I want to be completely consumed by your presence. I want to know your word. I want to move. I want to leave off the sins that have so easily beset me. And I want to move off with you, God, to wherever you want to go. I'm done with this world. God is so good to us. He's sending us one after another warnings to the house of God. Cut yourself off from the world. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying board up your home and become a monk. Nobody gets saved from the ministry of a monk. I was going to say stop monkeying around, but that's... The gospel in you and the Holy Spirit is resilient and powerful beyond your imagination. Get up and get out into the world and rescue it. There's a world dying, but how do I do that? Draw near to Jesus. The Bible says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. It's amazing to think he'll galvanize you. You'll be alone with God. And God will infuse you into your world with a purpose. The Bible says David had this. I can't wait to meet him. We're going to meet him. Oh, man, what's it going to be like? He's an amazing man. I mean, he's a sinner like us. We know. Just ask Bathsheba. Right? Or Uriah, the guy he killed. But David said this. Hallmark statement. Psalm 27, verse 4. If CNN stuck a microphone in his face, this is exactly what he would say today. This is exactly what he said back then. This one thing have I desired. David, with all of your exploits, killing lions and bears and giants, cutting Goliath's head off, which we've read the Bible carefully. You used your sling and your stone. It struck him in the head. It apparently knocked him out flat on the back. Read the Bible carefully. The stone didn't kill him, ladies and gentlemen. David cut his head off. That killed him. It's hard to live without a head. Church is trying to live today without its head, Jesus, and it's not working. Little David got on top of that massive giant, and he took the giant's sword, and remember, he's a kid. He had to set that blade on his throat, turn it up, big blade, massive sword, massive. And he had to just kind of take the time to saw through that big fat neck of Goliath. That had to be something. Blood going everywhere. The Bible says David took that head and you couldn't part. David took that head and he hung onto that head. Some kids drag around their little doll or something, or their transformer. David's dragging around his head. See, that's very gross. Well, okay. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What is it, David? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Yeah, for why? What's the deal? Listen, everybody, please. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Listen, look at it, look at it, look at it. Look on the screen, look in your Bible. One thing. No more money, no more girls. No more murder, no more war. Not in my life anymore. Nope, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going to dedicate my life to. I'm asking you today to make this commitment to God at the end of this series here, that you say today, in the silence of your soul, you say today, God, this one thing I will seek after.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called It's Time to Do What You Know, a special lesson in which Pastor Jack recaps with us the entire series we just went through over the past few months. It's a series called You Need to Know. Pastor Jack helps us to understand, through the doctrines of God, what we believe and why we believe it. It's a series that really helps both longtime and new believers grow closer to God. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, by the way, this entire series of messages is available for you to purchase on an MP3 CD, available for your gift of any amount to this ministry. We at Real Radio trust that you've been enjoying and learning from this series, and I'm sure you have. This series really is very important because it teaches the foundational doctrine of our Lord and really gets down to the basics of being a Christ follower. It's a series that spanned a few months, so if you missed any lessons and you'd like to catch up, be sure to visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click the Products tab. There you'll find all you need to get your hands on the You Need to Know series, available for a gift of any amount to this ministry. Once again, that website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.